Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Decidedly more baritone again.
Most of us are back, or whatever. Somebody sprayed a can of host be gone. not sure where the other co-host went. I think she'll be back. She left her stuff, so.
If anyone knows how to hack a laptop, one's sitting on the desk.
Hack top. It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. It is the Sunday night edition. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us here in the studio, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. I would like to say thank you to, I believe this is supposed to say clamoring and not calmering. But clamoring.
Totally different person.
Yeah, clamoring is a silver level amplifier. Oh, I see.
She went and made breakfast.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Didn't even bring us any. Selfish host.
She occasionally shares.
So she does. She actually gave me a loaf of bread when I was on my off diet week.
There you go.
How did you like it?
It was delicious, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great toast as well. Like that stuff toasted up great. It took butter like a sponge.
That's what I got right now, some sourdough.
Yeah. I was really good with. I had some Vermont extra sharp cheddar.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
I just melted it on top of it. Yeah. Yeah, and it was a little bit of garlic powder on it. It was great. At any rate, I would like to say thank you to Clamoring, who is tonight's amplifier. Clamoring is a silver-level amplifier, which means they give $5 a month to the amplifier program here at Free Talk Live. What is the amplifier program, you might ask? Well, if you go over to amps.freetalklive.com, you'll find out all about the amplifier program. Essentially, you pledge an amount of money every month, and that money goes to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, the radio program. It's a way for you, the listener, if you enjoy the show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, and the topics, the perspective of freedom, peace, and liberty that we bring, it's a way for you to help get this radio program onto more radio stations. We're on around 170, 180 stations right now. We could be on 200, 250, 300 radio stations. Not out of the question. It is all up to you. $5 is all we ask. You can give more. There's little gifts and little things that you get for becoming an amplifier, including access to the Amp Only podcast, which is a commercial-free version of the entire show every day. But that's not why you should subscribe. You should subscribe because you believe in peace, liberty, freedom, and all of those good things that come from our perspective here on Free Talk Live, and you want to see and help us spread that message. Amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Clamoring. We appreciate you. All right. Before we talk more about this facial recognition stuff, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
So I've been hearing that if you have a badge of a police officer, they've been getting away with traffic and speeding tickets. Like the other officers, if they know you got a badge, they would not give you a ticket.
And yep.
You don't say.
Yeah, this happens to be true, right?
Yep, I've heard that happening with drunk driving cases, too, where a cop will be drunk driving, belligerent,
judge,
you know.
Politician.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is. If you're part of the club, free ticket.
Yeah, it's
only what club ticket? If you're part of the,
if you're a bureaucrat, government. If you're a judge or any, you know, cop, whatever, it's pretty much they're never going to get any sort of speeding ticket, drunk driving charge, or maybe any other charge. I mean, I've heard of cops and, you know, judges getting off with worse things like assault and rape and things like that. I mean, they can almost do whatever they want. And very rarely are they held accountable for their actions. on the job and in their private life?
Well, I believe it because I know that somebody that had a former special badge, and then he admitted that he used to do 140 miles per hour, and they would just show him a badge and he'd just get away with it. And
yep.
So now I believe that it's for true. You know?
Well, Sarah, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, because as far as I know, you don't do very much driving, but I have encountered, you know, on several occasions where police officers in their cruiser on duty will be speeding on the highway, going maybe 100 miles an hour or more. You know, and of course, another police officer is not going to pull them over. They're in their cruiser. And even if they did, they would probably have some excuse.
I got caught pacing a cop once because he was going fast. I'm like, I'll just follow that guy.
Yeah.
And another one got me from behind.
Man.
It's like, well, what's up with this guy?
Right.
Oh, he has somewhere to be. He has a special badge. He can do whatever he wants.
This guy was pacing Dave. That's kind of the number. Like, of course I was, because if you're allowing him to do it, I should be allowed to do it too.
Right. So, Sarah, I mean, it's pretty common knowledge that, you know, if you're in some sort of a club and you bump into somebody else who's also in that club, that they're going to treat you differently. And so while police are a gang, they recognize themselves when interacting with each other. And, I mean, it's very common to hear stories about, you know, a governor got pulled over for DUI, completely got off scot-free, you know, not even a problem. Cops are infamous for letting other cops go for traffic infractions. You know, they get busted speeding in, like, a rental car or something like that. And they're like, oh, it's Dave from Precinct 42 or whatever. They're like, no, go ahead, it's fine.
The only time they really get in trouble is when they get belligerent about it. Right? Like, then the judge would get in trouble because he jumped out of his car and, like, accosted the cop. Do you know who I am?
Right, yeah.
Like, dude, just flash the shiny badge and you're on your way.
Yeah.
So if you get a ticket from a speeding camera, can they be excused? Can they?
Oh, sure,
yeah.
I don't know if they can be excused immediately, but if anything, they would just go to the clerk, magistrate, whatever, the trial, be like, hey, you know, this is,
prosecutor's not going to prosecute a cop.
Exactly. So they'll just be like, okay, whatever. Sorry for wasting your time.
Or even the paper pusher, right, who has to, you know, file all of these things.
Yeah, they might just
otherwise put them in a database and, you know, that kind of a thing. They might just go walk down there and be like, hey, you know what, this happened, and, you know, can you make it go away? And they do.
Yeah.
You're never going to know. Whoever has admin credentials to their database could just erase that crap.
Yep.
Before it was cool to be, like, liberty-minded and freedom-oriented, it was even cooler to know
a cop. It's never been uncool.
Well, I get it, but it was also cool to know a cop, right? Because he'd be like, hey,
right,
uncle, I got a ticket. He's like, oh, just give me that thing, boy.
Right.
Right? And then they go magically take care of it, and it's taken care of.
Yeah.
Didn't you lie?
You see this on TV and in the movies all the time, though.
Really? But I know of somebody that used to be an officer, like the corrections and a badge, and he told me that he got away with all kinds of speeding and all that. So now I know for sure. Now I got confirmation, you know, which is sad.
We did a story not too long ago, maybe last year sometime, about a guy who just found himself a replica police badge for his state.
Nice.
And then just carried that around, and whenever he'd get pulled over, he'd show it. And he got away with a whole bunch of crap, even though he was never a police officer. He finally got busted for impersonating one. But, you know.
Mm.
Which is really probably worse than the speeding ticket.
Well,
or whatever he was doing.
Just leave it on the dash, right? Like, it was just there, man.
Or I know some people, you have the state police stickers.
Yeah. Yep.
Some people just leave it on, you know, your bumper, and they will probably leave you alone.
There was, at least in Hawaii, there was the organization for police. I forget the name, but it was like SHOPO, right?
Okay.
And if you donated enough money,
right,
you got a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right? So if you saw the bumper sticker, you knew that they were a big donor. And you don't want to mess with donors who are donating to your organization.
Yeah.
So.
There was something not too long ago, and it might still exist, I'm not sure, but it was like the Policeman's Death Benefit Fund.
Okay.
They would use telemarketers to, like, call people and, like, get you to contribute. And then if you did, they would send you a sticker or a couple of stickers and that kind of thing. That coupled with, like, a fire department sticker, something like that, on the back of your car, probably gets you out of a lot of stuff.
Yep.
Mm. This is not advice. It's just, you know, reality talking.
Just observations.
Observations.
But you know something? That nobody gets away with nothing. I mean, in the long run, the karmically,
yeah,
you could cheat and lie, but you're going to have to pay it some way, somehow.
I don't know. Take a look at any former president, right? Are they having to pay some way, somehow? No. They're living lives of luxury despite the fact that they've bombed brown people into oblivion.
I don't know. I agree with Sarah on this one. It comes around eventually. Maybe not in this life, but the next life, the afterlife.
How old is Bush Jr.?
Be this life, might be the next life, might be the afterlife.
Right.
I know some of y'all don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you're going to have to pay all these people that are getting so-called, they're going to have to pay it up some other way, somehow. Like I said, if it's not in this life, they have to pay it up in the next life.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure, if you don't seek justice for against somebody who wronged you personally, I don't believe that anybody else is going to seek that justice for you. They may get they may have some event in their life that makes you feel better about yourself because, oh, well, now I feel better because they got their karmic retribution. But if you don't seek justice yourself, it's not going to find them for you.
Let's talk about this briefly because I know a lot of people don't like to hear this part of my thought process. For the individualist anarchist, right? To maximize your own personal freedom and your own personal liberty, right? What you should do is work for the state because there is nobody more free that can get away with more things than state workers, politicians up at the highest level, right?
This is true. You're wrong, but you're not wrong.
They can do the worst to the most innocent people and get away with it, right? And that means for us and whatever level of freedom we're seeking, it is not quite there yet, because we can't even do that.
However, working for the state violates a non-aggression principle.
Well, understood.
And for me, it's like on a spiritual level, like I would not be free because my soul would be chained to the state. And some, not saying it's not just me having a social security card and whatever, having a driver's license and stuff, but still, like on a moral, ethical, spiritual level, I wouldn't be able to.
Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Individualist anarchists are not beholden to the non-aggression principle, right? It's maximizing your personal freedom and liberty. That's it.
Choosing to adhere to the NAP is a choice.
It is a choice.
Right. So you, like, I guess there could be anarchists that don't adhere to it.
But if you get more freedom and more liberty by aggressing against a certain number of people, but in your personal life, you've gotten freedom and more liberty. Bob's your uncle there, too. There you go. Whatever it takes.
Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. We've got Major Payne calling from Michigan. But, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Hang on. I'm letting the dog in.
No. I refuse to hang on. You called us.
All right. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, Major. I believe you just answered the age-old question. The song that everybody knows but needs to remember.
No.
Who let the dogs out? It was Major Payne.
No, he let him in.
Now we know. Oh, well, who let him out?
But in order
we
to,
don't know who let him out, but Major Payne let him back in.
In order to let him in, he had to let him out.
That's not true.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
They're his dogs.
But someone else could be there.
The neighbor could have let the dogs out, and he went, Robert, I'm going to get my dogs, and I'm going to let them back in.
Okay, let's settle this. Major, did you let the dogs out and then back in?
Corrupt, sir.
That didn't sound like an X.
Major Payne substitutes the word corrupt for the word correct.
Okay. You would have to know that to translate.
I'm practicing on being a politician, right? There you go. Anyway.
I don't know why you'd do that.
I don't know. I'm just funning. So as far as this facial recognition, I got a ditty on that they're making me do pretty much at the county jail. And then I got a story about a local judge here 20 years ago that got raided and busted for cocaine.
We'll pick one.
All vanity.
We'll pick one.
So anyway, at the local jail here, in order to put money in my kid's feed bag account, you know, for the commissary, I got to go in there and stand in front of this damn gizmo, and they just started putting this screen up on the one side, and you put your face in the middle of the block, and if I got a hat on or my glasses, this thing argues with taking my picture, and sometimes I got to stand there and stand there and stand there. Finally, I get sick and tired, and I take my hat and my glasses off, and then it'll clear me. But, yeah, they're making me use this damn thing, wow. And I don't want nothing to do with it.
Now, I know that sometimes, I don't know about in your area, I know that sometimes you can put money on somebody's commissary, like, through a website, on a you know, web app, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
I could use my debit card, but I don't want to give the damn jailhouse my digits either.
Yeah.
Hire a homeless guy. They'll do it for you. Just give them $5 to put whatever into the machine.
Yeah. It's 15 miles out of town. You have to pay more than that to hike up there.
No, you just get a local homeless guy. Jesus. That's to solve everything for him.
15 miles out of town. There ain't no homeless guy.
Would you volunteer to be the local homeless guy?
Me?
Yeah.
Maybe. Depends how much it's paid.
$5?
$5? If I had no other source of income, sure. Why not? What else am I going to do?
Major?
It's all opportunity cost.
I'm going to get the $5 first. Anyway, so this judge here about 20 years ago, my ex-wife was actually sitting on the porch across the street and watched it all go down.
Okay.
The hunt team, here on undercover narcotics team, raided old Judge Johnson's house, brought him out in cuffs, and she happened to be in court the next day and on a charge facing him. He was still on the bench the next day, but his head was just hanging. I mean, you could tell he was broken. But they ended up shipping the damn trial down to Bay City, you know, in a little bit of a different jurisdiction, and sure as hell it all went away.
Yeah.
So either it goes away, or in cases like that, he ran afoul of somebody higher up than him.
Right.
Right.
And then
I know. Back in the day, I knew the guy who slung all the cocaine to the judges and the lawyers and the cops.
Yeah.
It was all a big damn ring.
Isn't it amazing that cocaine, like one of the biggest demographics of cocaine use, is attorneys?
Well, they got to work those long hours, man.
Attorneys, both prosecution and defense.
Right? Staying up late, researching documents. If only there was an AI for that.
Major, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 is the number if you'd like to participate this evening. I don't really want to get too deep into the war on drugs, but the whole thing is just ridiculous. We learn from prohibition of alcohol that prohibition does not work. We learn that when government tries to wage war on a drug or drugs, that heinous and evil things happen. Like, for example, the government poisoning a bunch of alcohol and killing people.
We also learned from prohibition you need a constitutional amendment to prohibit it and a second one to deprohibit it.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't apply to the other drugs for some odd reason.
I just really wish that free people would begin acting freely.
You don't want to know what that looks like from the perspective of this show.
Let's just say more so than they currently are, right?
Okay.
I would like to see an improvement. Right?
Sure. Okay.
I would like to see people say things and act in ways that, like, you know what? I don't need to fill out these pieces of paper to prove that I am a free person. I don't need to be carrying the correct paperwork to prove that I am free. Right. I would like that in and of itself would be a huge step in the direction.
It's difficult, like, from my perspective, so I don't really like to validate the existence or the legitimacy of the state, but I have a driver's license.
Right.
I have a nursing license.
Right.
You know, there's certain things I'm not willing to do that break certain laws because I don't want to go to jail.
Right.
So to me, being out of jail is more freedom than being in jail. So unfortunately, I have to do the dance to not go to jail, which is more important.
You are free within the confines that they set for you.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like, it's like walking into the federal courthouse for Ian's Crypto 6 trial.
Yeah.
The amount of monkey dancing like that I had to do against my personal philosophies and principles, I did because I wanted to see the damn trial.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I wanted to come face to face with the evil that was the prosecution. You know, the evil that is the judges and everybody that works there. And just as a side note, I have to say that the federal building, their IT people suck ass.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They're horrible at operating technology. There were so many times during that trial that I'd lean over to the guy next to me and be like, you know, if I did that horrible a job in my job, I'd be fired tomorrow.
Yep.
They couldn't even bring like an Excel spreadsheet up on screen, you know, like efficiently and, you know, without having to like reboot several things and, you know, yep. go to somebody else's computer to make it happen.
Well, have you ever used a state website?
They are horrible.
Internet Explorer only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still.
Right. Yeah. Even though it has been unsupported for right. years now.
So early on in my move towards freedom and liberty, right, I had the conversation with the parental units.
Yeah.
And I talked to my dad, and he goes, I'm free because I don't want to do anything illegal. I go, all right. So he can do everything he wants to do in life because nothing he wants to do is illegal.
But it is because, as we said in the beginning of the show, everything is illegal.
Three times a day.
Right. But he gets away with those, right? Yeah. But it's those people, the oppressed people, who want to do things above and beyond, right? Who want to venture beyond their confines, right? That run into the strong arm of the state.
Yeah, I'm not very good at it. I'm human. I make mistakes all the time.
Sure.
But I would rather than using legal as my barometer of, you know, what I do, I would rather use either morality or principles.
Sure.
Or a combination of the two, right? And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to live a more principled life, a consistent life. Principles allow me to be more consistent in my actions, but I also find that being principled makes me violate more laws.
Right.
Yeah.
Which should be the antithesis, like legality and principles should sort of align if the world is a good place and government is supposed to, you know, be this protector of, you know, liberty and life and all that crap, which it's not.
They would say on the aggregate it is aligned because the law is the morality of the community.
Nope. I disagree. Not this community.
Not this one. You're correct. Right? But that's the presumption, right? That's the notion that they set out there.
Now, the law is the dictates of your masters.
Well,
I would agree with that.
And also, considering the U.S. has more people imprisoned than anywhere else, I'm going to have to go with it's not any community within the United States. The law probably doesn't align with that.
Right.
So,
I agree.
I don't think any, you know, the majority of people, I think, disagree with most laws, whether it's things like speeding, doing drugs, whatever it is.
Doing drugs while speeding.
Yes.
Right. So act free and find out how free you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it would certainly be revealing to a lot of people. Right.
Well, that's the thing. They don't like my dad. Right. Doesn't act free. Stays like as free within the confines
right.
of what he's comfortable with to not run afoul of the law.
Right. I remember I used to carpool in the city of Seattle with some people, and you know, you take turn drive. It's your week to drive. It's his week to drive. Whatever. And I mean, the amount of times that somebody said, including myself, that should be illegal. Where's a cop when you need him? That kind of a stuff. Just on the road.
Yep.
Right? It was amazing. Right? Just in a daily commute to and from your 9-to-5 in a big city. And I recognize now that that was the wrong perspective. 603-283-6160. Call us if you want to join us. Free Talk Live. More coming up next.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Hardcore supporters of the former Brazilian president are calling for a military coup in order to put him back in charge. This despite President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva was inaugurated last week. At least 40 people are dead after a bus crash in central Senegal. That's according to the country's president, who said many others were also injured seriously. It happened when two buses collided. GOP Representative Scott Perry says he won't recuse himself from the possible new House committee investigating probes into the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots. That comes despite being part of a Department of Justice inquiry into the matter. For the first time since 1947, the Chicago Bears earned the top pick in the NFL draft after finishing the regular season with the worst record at 3-14. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
With our mouths full of egg and banana. And,
I tried.
You know, out of the three times that it was going to be the three of us, I think you failed each time.
I was going to try with my mouth full, but then I was like, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's not a good idea to eat and drink while trying to do professional radio.
No, but you know, I got to squeeze all of my professions.
Hey, everybody's busy. Everybody's
plus
busy.
Sleeping into one day.
We took away two breaks, so now she's got much shorter breaks.
I know. Here.
Well, yeah.
That's my eating time.
It was.
Was.
Trying to eat at the top of the hour instead of the bottom of the hour. It's a longer break. Anyway,
yeah,
6:03. Oh, trying to be
reprimanded on the air again.
No. Trying to be on time, too, for the show.
Right. Yeah, well, again, I was sleeping. So.
603-283-6160. Or I forgive you. Richie, however, does not.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah.
You have to work that out with him somehow.
I'll bring cookies next week. It's fine.
Damn it.
That's my off week.
Fine. The week after that.
Okay, fine.
But I'm on the diet. I can't help
well,
it.
Well, you know, I can't make everybody happy.
You already forgave me. This is my forgiveness gift.
Exactly.
Can you bring beef jerky or something?
Okay. That could possibly be arranged.
What is the name of the show?
Free Talk Live.
What's the phone number?
603-283-6160.
All right, cool. We were talking about facial recognition. And, you know, we covered a lady who was taking her daughter and some Girl Scouts to a Rockettes show. And she got facially recognized by some software and was basically not allowed to attend the Rockettes show.
Blackballed.
And then we were talking about this man, what's his name? Reed. Reed, a 28-year-old man who is allegedly, who is misidentified as one of three people who allegedly stole over $10,000 in Chanel and Louis Vuitton purses from
a pair of
shops.
That's a handful of purses.
Via bogus credit card purchases.
Okay.
Was pulled over by local police in Georgia's DeKalb County on November 25th while he was driving on Interstate 20 to meet up with his mother, NOLA.com reported. Quote, "They told me I had a warrant out of Jefferson Parish. I said, what is Jefferson Parish? I have never been to Louisiana a day in my life."
Ah, so he knew where Jefferson Parish was.
Well, maybe that was
indicating that
he'd,
oh, okay.
"Then they told me it was for theft, so not only have I not been to Louisiana, I also don't steal." Reed wasn't released from the DeKalb County Jail until December 1st. While behind bars, he worried about losing his job as a transportation analyst and being convicted of felonies that he did not commit.
That's terrible.
"Not eating, not sleeping, I'm thinking about these charges, not doing anything because I don't know what's really going on the whole time," he said. "They didn't even try to make the right ID." Tommy Coligero, Reed's lawyer, told NOLA.com that Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office detectives tacitly admitted the misidentification and rescinded a July warrant. The news outlet also noted that court records show a Baton Rouge Police Department detective adopted JPSO's identification of Reed to secure an arrest warrant for one of the thefts.
So, slow down real quick, because you said he was in jail until December, but this was for a July warrant. So, when did they actually arrest him?
That was November 25th.
Okay, so the warrant had already been rescinded. Whatever cop who arrested him didn't even get the notice, and then he spent a week in jail.
I think it's the other way around. I think it was the following July when it was rescinded.
Oh, okay.
Not the previous.
All right. Carry on.
Anyway, so he's not eating, not sleeping, et cetera, and so on. According to this report, Sheriff Joe Lapinto's office did not respond to several requests for information on Reed's arrest and release, the agency use of facial recognition, or any safeguards around it. That office also denied a formal request for the July 18th arrest warrant for Reed and copies. So I think you're right. The warrant came first in July, but it wasn't served until November.
When you said December, I just assumed it was December 2022. Right, because we're reading
currently. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We haven't had July 2023 yet, as far as I know. So.
Right. The office also denied a formal request for the arrest warrant and copies of policies or purchases related to facial recognition, citing an ongoing investigation. Baton Rouge Police also did not respond to questions about its warrant for Reed's arrest. The warrant, signed by 19th Judicial District Judge Ebony Rose, spelled E-B-O-N-I, Ebony Rose, does not say how Lapinto's office identified Reed. As Flight for the Future summarized, police blindly trusted a facial recognition scan to arrest a man in Georgia. He was wrongly imprisoned for a week. Now, surprise, surprise, the cops are stonewalling the press about their failure. Experts from the ACLU of Louisiana and the Electronic Privacy Information Center shared concerns with NOLA.com about police use of the technology, which, as research has shown, more frequently misidentifies people of color. In response to reporting on Reed's experience, the National ACLU on Tuesday stressed the flaws of facial recognition tools and asserted that law enforcement must drop this dangerous technology. We shouldn't have to worry about being falsely arrested because an algorithm gets it wrong.
Okay, again, hold on a minute, because yes, the algorithm is going to get it wrong, but prior to the algorithm, they went on like the description of the
when I was in Sturgis, South Dakota for Bike Week one year.
Oh yeah, good luck identifying anybody there.
No, like a
leather jacket, beard, and tattoos. No, go get them, boys.
Literally, like a bank was robbed. Like somebody went in, passed a note, you know, flashed a gun, whatever kind of thing, and said, "Give me the money." The money was given, and the guy left. And so, of course, they on the news that night, they're like, you know, there was a holdup at the local Sturgis Bank. The description of the man is long hair, beard, wearing blue jeans and motorcycle boots with a T-shirt and a leather vest.
There you go.
Which is everybody in Sturgis for that whole week, if not, you know, the week before and the week after as well.
So well planned on his part to blend into the crowd as he left.
And, like, who's to say that that's even what the guy actually looked like? Maybe he disguised himself to look like everybody else at that moment to pull off the robbery, right?
So if only there were facial recognition software that would have caught his face on camera, used the algorithms to pinpoint his facial structure regardless of whatever beard or sunglasses he happened
to
be wearing.
But imagine if they get that wrong, and then you're some random guy that went to bike week trying to have a good time. Next
thing
you know,
you've got
prison,
long hair, bam.
Yep, jail.
No, I get it. I get it. Which again is why I'm not necessarily in favor of it. But if they tried to wrongfully arrest me over something like that, I should be well within my right to resist that unlawful arrest. And the adjudication process should have some form or fashion to adjudicate that after the fact as well.
Let's do some voice recognition. Free Talk Live.
Hello, you're going to like my voice.
I do, David, in New Mexico.
Oh, damn it.
You pesky kids.
So, say what?
I was making a Scooby-Doo reference.
Zoinks!
Oh, yeah, it's been about 30 years since I've seen a Scooby-Doo
Jinkies.
Cartoon. I remember I told you that I got... I'm about to violate a court order again.
Ooh.
Fined... like $350 because I did what? I was told to have no contact with my children.
Yeah.
They were in diapers, remember? And so I went on Facebook.
How can we forget?
And I wrote, I love you, David. I love you, Paisley. And the wife, the ex, saw it and told the judge. They filed a motion for contempt, and the judge fined me like $350. And if I didn't pay it, I'd go to jail. And
yes, we've heard it before. What's new, David?
But other people haven't. So,
okay.
And so today is the birthday of Elvis Presley and David Bowie and Paisley Olson, who happens to be my daughter. And that court order still exists.
Happy birthday,
so
Paisley.
Happy birthday. And I just violated the court order again.
Nice.
And this time, as compared to when she was in diapers, she can actually, like, listen to the radio and hear that. So... I'm violating the court order might actually have some effect on her. So Judge John J. Romero Jr., since I violated your court order again willfully, please put me in jail for 6 months for contempt.
Whoa.
That would be fun.
David Olson from New Mexico, everybody, violating a court order live on nationally syndicated radio. Thank you for the call tonight, David. We appreciate it.
Where he knows the FBI is also listening in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we got confirmation of that during Ian's Crypto 6 trial, that they may even listen as often as daily.
Hey, we might say that they're super fans.
They are. Like, and in fact, feds, if you're listening, amps.freetalklive.com. If you enjoy
the
host
show so much,
and the co-hosts and the perspective we bring of peace, liberty, and prosperity to everyone, please consider becoming an amplifier. We only ask for $5 a month. You can give more if you like. You know, there's even some super levels, or at least there used to be, where you could give, you know, as much as you wanted.
We should give a special FBI group rate.
Yeah.
For the entire
Groupon
for the whole building.
Federal Groupon.
There you go.
You know, instead of wasting everybody's tax money on, you know, whatever it is you think you're doing, you could instead put it to good use for people who believe in liberty and freedom, autonomy, and personal responsibility.
Privacy.
Yeah.
Anonymity.
Just a suggestion.
All right.
All right, so facial recognition, more on this story. The National ACLU had previously called on policymakers to end law enforcement's use of facial recognition technology across the United States, including after the January 2020 wrongful arrest of Robert Williams, a black man in Michigan misidentified as a shoplifting suspect. So is facial recognition racist? Is that
yes.
what they're saying?
It sounds like
yes,
it.
Because white dudes wrote the program, man.
Well, it sounds like... they're saying, and they've actually explicitly said, that it more frequently misidentifies people of color.
Yeah, it does.
Well, that's what happened before, you know, they all have always been misidentified.
So one of the, I don't know how true this is. You might want to, someone fact check me on this because I only read this in passing.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why DNA evidence is used now and was developed is because a black guy was falsely arrested and imprisoned, right? But he had the same name as the guy who committed the crime.
Right.
And looked very, very similar.
Right.
Like, I don't want to say, you know, what we're thinking, but they looked very similar side by side.
Don't claim to know what I'm thinking.
Okay. But they looked very similar side by side. Like, you would not be able to tell them apart by looking at their photo.
Right.
So they arrested the wrong guy.
Yep.
Who had the wrong name.
Right.
Or had the correct name, same name, you know, looked exactly the same, and convicted him.
Right.
And then later on realized, you know, when DNA became a thing, that,
it was this guy, not that guy.
Right. Yeah. So from the beginning, right, ethnic minorities have been misidentified by the police.
So the article continues, my daughters can't unsee me being handcuffed and put into a police car. But they can see me use this experience to bring some good in the world, Williams wrote in a June 2020 opinion piece. I keep thinking about how lucky I was to have spent only one night in jail, as traumatizing as it was. Many black people won't be so lucky. My family and I don't want to live with that fear. I don't want anyone to live with that fear. So that's
one night in jail. Obviously wrongfully arrested.
Well, this other person spent a week, so.
Okay. Yeah. Either way, but now compensate him. Right? That's the other side of that coin.
That would be actual justice.
Fix it.
How do you fix that, though?
Compensate him.
I mean, you can't give me my day or my week back.
No, but you attempt to make them money, whole, right? If they did lose any money.
Some taxpayer money, you know.
That's like, exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, they're never going to hold the actual people accountable. They're only going to give you a chunk of taxpayer money. And that's the quandary about taxation, right? When police do wrong and they're found by their own court that they did wrong, the taxpayer always loses because it's the taxpayer on the hook to make that person whole even when they win.
Well, you said you wanted people to act more free, Captain. Stop paying taxes and they don't have taxpayer money to give them, right?
Well, they'll still have taxpayer money.
From where? They have to print it. If people got fed up with their tax money paying for bad cops to do dumb things to good people, right? They couldn't dip into that fund anymore because it wouldn't be available to them. They'd either have to straighten.
They can't arrest all of us.
Exactly.
But they can build gulags and throw us in there. So
fight your way in, fight your way out, man.
All
right. Right. If you resist the unlawful arrest, right? Or the immoral arrest at that point, because I'm sure they'll make it legal to throw you in the gulag, right? Be prepared to defend yourself against aggression by whatever means you choose.
Mm-hmm.
And get some friends willing to do the same, because it's going to take more than just you. And someone might have someone, right? You guys talked about the El Chapo thing, right? The El Chapo son thing yesterday, right? Someone might have to come and get you after they get you.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get you when everyone else is around. They're going to get you when you're all alone, and you're going to need a rescue party. So make some friends willing to run the rescue party to get you out once they've got you, before the train leaves for the gulags.
Yep.
So I'm trying to do a thing here, and I'm having a hard time.
I don't know. I would like to get to the point where I would like to prevent getting to the point where there are gulags in all of these things. And I'm hoping that there are peaceful ways that we can get there.
Yeah.
Would be nice.
Voting our way out of it doesn't seem to be working. But in New Hampshire, we do have a number of state representatives who are liberty-minded and who have A-plus ratings on whatever liberty rating website I'm thinking of, but...
So, just to wrap up this bit about facial recognition, from thelastamericanvagabond.com, in 2023, it will be nearly impossible to avoid facial recognition in the United States. As more airports in the United States adopt facial recognition technology, the privacy of Americans is once again threatened.
I mean, I would say it already is impossible. Oh, wait, is that 2023?
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, boom, here we are.
In early December, the Washington Post reported that the U.S. Transportation Security Administration is beginning to test new facial recognition tools at 16 major domestic airports. The TSA has been quietly testing controversial facial recognition technology for passenger screening at 16 major domestic airports from Washington to Los Angeles and hopes to expand it across the United States as soon as next year. That's this year. Kiosks with cameras are doing a job that used to be completed by humans, checking the photos on travelers' IDs to make sure they're not imposters. TSA representative Jason Lim told the Post that none of this facial recognition technology is mandated. Passengers choosing to opt out of the face identification will still need to present their ID. The TSA also said there are supposed to be signs around informing you of your rights. I've flown recently out of a couple of major airports, and I saw nothing about facial recognition.
They're not going to tell you.
Nothing about opting out.
Well, they said there's supposed to be signs telling you your rights. I've never seen anything like that.
Certainly the TSA isn't capable of understanding rights, much less telling you what they are.
Well, so airport, maybe, you know, public area. What right do you have to privacy in a public area? This is my earlier question.
It's one thing if it's airport security doing the job. It's a whole other thing if it's the TSA doing the job, right? Okay. So if the TSA didn't exist and the government didn't impose itself upon the airports,
yep,
and an airline or an airport, assuming it's a private entity, most of them aren't,
yep,
assuming it was a private entity, could choose what security measures they wanted to take or not take,
right,
for their passengers and the airlines that...
And you as a consumer would have to choose which airline suited your needs best.
Right. And I could choose that prior to booking the flight.
Yes.
Whereas you can't do that now.
Right.
You just book your flight and show up and hope for the best. And, you know, if you got to opt out, you opt out. Only if you're aware that opting out is an option. If you're not aware, you know, then, you know, they're basically just stealing your face.
Yeah, or put on your COVID mask, right? Who cares?
They make you pull it down, though, when they check your ID.
The report goes on to inform the reader that although you technically don't have to participate in facial recognition at the airport, whether you'll feel like you have a real choice is a separate question. Albert Foxconn, founder of Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, told the Post that he believes there is no place more coercive to ask people for their consent than an airport.
Yeah, because you already got big bucks on the line with the ticket time. You have to be somewhere way out of your normal range, right? You're captive. You're captive
audience. Yes, that's the exact phrase I was going to bring up in this particular circumstance. When you have a captive audience, man, it is difficult for them to say no.
Yep.
In any meaningful way. They go on to say, what we often see with these biometric programs is they are only optional in the introductory phases, and over time we see them becoming standardized and nationalized and eventually compulsory. Khan's statements ring true in the light of previous TSA programs, which start out as optional before becoming mandatory, including taking off your shoes at the airport, choosing between walking through the body scanner machines or an invasive pat-down. The TSA's facial recognition works by having passengers step up to the travel document checker kiosk while they scan their identification card. Then passengers are expected to stare into a camera for up to 5 seconds while the machine compares the ID to the new photo. This is known as a one-to-one verification system. The Post notes that the TSA's facial recognition pilot began at the Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, DCA, in August 2020, based on alleged concerns of transmission of COVID-19. DCA is one of the airports that I flew through. I saw no signage of facial recognition at all.
It could be the industry, and I think it's the Sig Sauer Pro Shop here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you walk through a door, and then you have to look up at the camera, and they take your picture, and then they let you in the second door. I think it's the Sig Pro Shop. If I'm wrong, someone correct me.
Okay.
But either way, right, in order to go there and shop at that store, right, they have decided that they're going to take pictures of everyone that enters, right? And that's a choice then for you as a consumer whether or not you want to shop there or not.
Is there signs that says your photo will be taken? It's something like that.
Yeah, because you have to stand and go like look at the camera and you go. Mm.
Okay. All right, so.
It's either SIG or Shooter's Outpost. Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't think it's Shooter's Outpost.
Okay.
It must be SIG then, yeah.
Okay. But either way, it's a consumer choice and a private entity.
At Shooter's Outpost, they had signs that said, please, I think it was Shooter's Outpost. It was some gun store in New Hampshire was like, please don't wear a mask. This is a gun store. Duh. Like, yeah. We have cameras for a reason. Like, you're going to come into a gun store wearing a mask?
That could have been DW guns.
Yeah.
Like during the propagandemic.
Yeah.
Right? You could wear a mask into a bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas previously, like, you'd be kicked out.
That was a big no-no.
You'd be chased out by security or maybe even arrested for wearing a mask into a bank.
And privacy advocating libertarians were like, I'm not wearing the mask.
I mean, what really bothers me, and this is sort of unrelated, but kind of, it's mask related, is that I did not wear a mask through the whole propagandemic.
Okay.
I didn't put one on for any reason.
Congratulations.
And then in order to see Ian's Crypto 6 trial, they made people mask to be in the actual courtroom. And so I put one on for that reason.
Yep.
It was my choice. They did set aside, they had what they called an overflow room. Where you could go and watch
it on an itty bitty little TV.
They had, you know, a couple of, you know,
you couldn't hear anything.
At least 40-inch, 50-inch TV, mm-hmm. something like that. But yeah, the audio was poor, and also their IT team, as I mentioned before, sucked ass.
Yeah.
And so I didn't trust. Like, there were times when people who were in the overflow room would come into the courtroom, and they're like, "Yeah, the feed went out. I don't know. They didn't say when it'll be back, so we had to come over here." And so yeah, it was like kind of pointless anyway. But I don't like that building at all.
The church?
The federal courthouse.
Yep.
It is very cathedral, very churchy.
It's weird.
It is.
We found some weird stuff in there, too. Like, there was one tree that we were looking at that just, it had, like, chains on it. Like, it was bolted. It was just some weird, it was weird. It's like a fake tree, but it was chained into the pot. But it just the way it was, I was like, is this some weird, like, satanic ritual stuff that they're doing here? Like, I don't know, it was just
symbol
weird.
Of slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, like, some weird symbolism going on.
Even the trees are chained.
It brings to mind the guy with a noose around his neck that's attached to the tree as he's watering the tree.
Yeah.
That's how you lose it. Slowly over a long period of time.
We are out of time. Thank you to our callers. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Captain.
You are welcome. If you missed any part of our show, find us at the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.